if you were to have newspaper headlines or do something really strange, like do a Google search for the passage here in Mark that Jesus helped this man, the search might read, Jesus preaches, man goes through the roof. Okay? Now maybe that can happen to your soul today, but the man went through the roof, his friends wanting him to get some help. And it's interesting that he thought he knew what he needed. Of course, he had big pain or lack of movement in his body, paralyzed. And his friends thought they knew what he needed. You know, I hope the Lord helps this man who's really hurting, and God cares about us physically, obviously. And maybe if there was a, you know, some people knew the Bible there, oh, we know what this guy needs. But God really knew what he needed. Okay, beyond what the people thought, beyond what the man thought, Jesus really knew what this man needed. He started to deal with him. First things first, son, your sins are forgiven. Could you imagine God telling that to you personally today? I mean, here you are, you know, somebody lowered you through the roof, or you came through the snow, and God, who's very real, he's with us, he says, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. That would be a life changer. And of course, God does everything in his power to let us know about that through his son, Jesus. So you could know that in your soul today. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. As a gift. When that was happening between Jesus and the man, and that day, there, you know, it was standing room only. Nobody could get in. I remember going to a wedding once where I had to actually stand out on the street. It was a smaller building. And came a little late, and so I did see what was happening, glad for the bride and groom, but I did get to greet the bride and groom first. They go out, and there I am. And, oh, it's a great wedding. So you never know if you're far away, you feel far away, God would bless. This is what happened to the man. Far away, couldn't get in. He meets Jesus. Four friends bring him. Jesus talks about forgiveness for the first time. Recorded here in Mark, earliest gospel, and that's a surprise gift, surprise salvation by this man. He thought, well, maybe he'll help my, you know, movement ability, but now something else eternal happens. And so Jesus shows he has the authority to forgive sins, gives a gift of healing to the guy, and I think of the man who's on the paralyzed mat. If you're an oldies fan, as occasionally I am, he was singing, coming through the roof, all I need is a miracle, Mike and the Mechanics, 1985. But better song would have been, all I need is forgiveness. You know, all I need is forgiveness. That would have been good. And in the Gospels about Jesus, all the miracles really point to Jesus as the forgiver of sins. Okay, all the miracles point to Jesus as the forgiveness of sins. It's not a, one is, you take one or the other, but God helps with both. But the bigger need and the harder one to give is forgiveness. Okay? The bigger need is forgiveness. The harder one to give is forgiveness. Jesus would go to the cross. And that's where we are with God. It's the greater of the two actions. So Jesus speaks to the paralyzed man's paralysis of his soul, you might say, not just his body. And he wants that for us. He cares about us in how we're doing in terms of peace with God, peace with ourselves, and with others. And so he has compassion on us. He reaches out to us in our physical needs, of course, cares about that. You know, he gives us a new body when life is done. And he rose bodily from the grave, so we know he cares about our body. But beyond doing a help for us right at the moment, physically, Jesus wants to give us a help for all time. For all time. And that would be the forgiveness of sins that he offers. And of course, the number one pain in our life all the time is our own sin, being alienated from God, a foretaste of hell. Separation from God forever. And Christ would come to say, I could put your hand back into the hand of God and you could be at peace with him forever. Son, your sins are forgiven. like, wow, the greatest news we could ever hear. And some parts of the gospel that we should take from Jesus, the forgiver of sins, are these. It's Christ's goodness for this man, not the man's goodness. Okay, same with us. Christ's goodness, not our goodness. It's Christ's mercy and grace, not our good works. Jesus didn't say, you guys are determined. I like your, you know, roof digging ability up there. But his grace and mercy, not our good works. It's Christ's obedience, not our obedience, that would open the way to heaven. It's because how good the Lord is. His righteousness, not our righteousness. His wonderful Holy Spirit, not our willpower. We need help to get to know God. God says, I'll give you myself so you get to know me. And it's his promise, not our growth. And I think calls for patience in our part, giving God all the credit for forgiveness of sins and for salvation. We say, Lord, I need this. Sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves or maybe other people and say, well, you know, if they were really committed to God or really a Christian, they would be really growing better. They would be more fervent and so on. Or, you know, I should be at least having some halo on my head at this point in my life. But God doesn't look at it that way. God's word says we the stronger are to take care of the weaker. It's Romans chapter 15. So if you see a person struggling in their faith, say, having a hard time with God or even doing the right thing on a regular basis, don't just say, well, God's not in their life. That's baloney. But rather, you could say, hey, Christ came to rescue all the ones far from him, to seek and save them. Okay, that's what he came to do. And I like the phrase, a Christian is a Christian no matter how small. Okay, sometimes a child's born, child doesn't grow too well, doesn't have the muscles everybody else has, not as tall as everybody else, can't think as well as everybody else, still a child. Right? Christian's a Christian. No matter how small, if they say, I trust Christ, so you could have mercy on that one, and know God would give good gifts, namely help for us physically, help for us in our soul. I want to talk about forgiveness here for just a bit from God. It's a massive part of the gospel, Christ dying so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. We need that in our soul. If you've ever felt alienated for another person, you know how uncomfortable you feel. Should I be around them? Should I not? Should I talk to him? Should I not? Should I hit him? Should I not? Okay, all those things go through your mind. Same happens between us and the Lord. Close or not, talk to him or not, get mad at him or not. God says, well, let me give forgiveness. He gives to us more frequently than we ask forgiveness. And helps us change, get that change, repentance in there. But signs that signals you haven't really known the forgiveness of God, he'd like to give you more, you know. If you see yourself being morally inferior to others, oh, God would never love me, I'm terribly sinful. You know, God has come into the life of many people much, much, much more sinful than you and I. So we could drop that thing as a pride thing or like an ego thing. Or if we feel we're morally superior to others. Well, I was a pretty good guy in the first place, and then I believed in Jesus, and that was just like icing on the cake. There's no good news in that. So if you feel morally superior to others, or morally inferior, you're not thankful to the forgiveness of God that he would say to you, son, your sins are forgiven. Also, if you have a tendency to put yourself down and say, I'm so stupid or clumsy, you know, don't say those things. Just help whatever person you've insulted by your clumsiness in that way. Often when you and I defend ourselves, we're showing we don't know God's forgiveness. Well, I don't know if God will forgive me or stick up for me, so I will stick up for myself. How dumb we look. You know, man is a fool who has himself as a defense attorney. That's what we do. Or make excuses for ourselves. We minimize our sin. God wants to come with a forgiveness for the real sin that is big. And often we try to earn that forgiveness by doing good things. That's out of bounds. Do good things because you're forgiven. So it's out of gladness, peace with God and love. I put on the screen here sometimes what we do. I call it a dumbing down of God's holy law or God's holiness. We start to say that, well, I don't do this, so maybe I would be forgiven or chose I'm a real Christian or whatever. If I say, well, you know, I don't cuss or steal, do drugs, I do pray a lot, I do read the Bible a lot. And on the basis of what I do, it shows I really have been close to God, and, you know, certainly He would forgive me or perhaps even give me the miracle, because don't you think a guy like that deserves a miracle, don't you think? Well, we don't know the goodness of God if we think that way. We could have conviction of sin about these other things, which are a little more powerful. Oh, I realize I don't love my neighbor. Well, the second one, I don't even want to go there. I realize I don't love my enemies. You know what? I don't help the poor on a regular basis. It's just not in my zeal pattern at that point. Well, that would show a lack of God's compassion. I fail to tell the good news. And those things of love, joy, peace, patience, they're rare. So if we see that right side, we don't want to minimize God's goodness. He calls us to a changed life with His help. It's very God-oriented and serving to other people. That's what He calls forth for us. Not all this. The stuff on the left side, I would say, is pretty weak. Okay? You could do that as a 12-year-old atheist. Okay? And that's all effort it takes, really. But here's some great Bible pictures of forgiveness God would offer us. Remember, He offered the paralyzed man this. And how good God is. To remove our sins as far as east is from the west. That's a promise from Psalm 139. How far is that? I don't know, but I like it. And we need that every day. Okay? Every day. Transgressions forgiven, sins covered. There's a wonderful Bible verse that says, love covers a multitude of sins. So love covers sins. In other words, makes one between us and God. He does that for us. Atonement. But the devil and evil, what they do, they really magnify sin. Okay? So if you sin, I'm going to say, wow, that was the worst thing that I ever saw. I tell my friend, did you see what he did? Can you believe it? Did you hear about so-and-so? The devil magnifies sin. Love covers sin. Even our response to an evil world, you know. God doesn't look at the evil world and say, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like this before. Let me just, you know, run the evil into the ground. He sees the evil for all it is, more devastating than we do. Comes with the goodness of God. Sin is deeply bad. Christ, so much deeper still of His goodness. The forgiveness of sins. God remembers our sins no more. Great promise of Jeremiah. Throws our sins into the depths of the sea. No condemnation. We could say, you know, by God, what He did for me, 100% acquitted by God. Well, I tell you, when I was a young adult, that truth just made me want to be thankful all the time, which sometimes I get away from. Sin counted not against us. How true. Here's a good verse. Hard to believe, but true, made perfect forever by what Christ has done, forgiveness of sins. Doesn't mean we live perfect, but it means that our soul and Jesus are in connection, and He's the perfect one. I thought of the example, not a good one, but going into Sam's Club. Let's say you have to have a card to get into Sam's Club. I don't have a card. My wife has a card, so when I go in, I say, I have nothing, I can't even get in. I just say, I'm with her. You know, with Jesus, God says, oh, you want to follow me. You want to be in heaven. And we say, I got nothing, but the Savior, I'm with the Savior. He's for me. I'm for him. And made perfect forever. And then he makes us accepted, gives us peace through what he did for us. And in closing, you know, the man who was paralyzed in his body, God cares about that. But he cared about the man's soul first. And you think of what the man might say today. Of course, he's in heaven. What would he say? He'd probably say, telling all these people in heaven and, you know, and the Lord, remember the day when I couldn't walk? Then all of a sudden, Jesus made me walk. That was one of the greatest days of my life, obviously. I ran home. Could you imagine a paralyzed guy running home? I danced with my wife at home. And then I told her, honey, you think this is good. You should hear what Jesus did for me, for my soul. He said my sins were forgiven. And when this guy's in heaven, of course, he says, hey, everybody, that paralyzed healing, that was fantastic. But I'm going to tell you what, the forgiveness of sins, that was eternally great. Boy, that gift lasted for 10,000 years plus. So all the wonderful things Jesus would give. His love for us just passed on. And might we be people, I think these folks getting baptized, they would say it. We want to say it. Just say, yeah, we feel the same way. We would say, hey, there's nobody who needs forgiveness more than we do. I hope you feel that way about yourself. I hope you feel that way about this fellowship. But those Northern Alliance people, no, you know what? Nobody needs forgiveness more than they do. And we would say, that's right. You got that right. We are very thankful. And we're glad to pass it on to whomever, you know, God helps us to get to know and reach out to. And let's pray together. Lord, help us walk with you. If there's a paralyzed soul we have, to just hear your good news. This forgiveness is powerful. And then help us in our aches and pains too, Lord. We need you there. In Jesus' name, amen.